This past week was Vacation Bible School, and I am so grateful for Levi Durbin, who put the ice cream and the chocolate syrup and the graham crackers on top of me. I won't forget. I see you. I'm grateful it wasn't slime, like years past, because it was edible, at least. I'm grateful for a church that has showers, and I showered promptly, and even driving home that night, I'm like, there's still stuff on me. I'm grateful for our facilities team who cleaned this place up. And we don't have a church with plastic on the couch and don't sit there and can't eat in the living room. I'm thankful for Marvin Methodist Church. This past week, our children flooded this campus and they sang songs and heard scripture and learned what it means to serve and love and forgive and live it out. That is the theme. And I was glad to be a part of the Edge Camp, the Trailblazers, the fourth graders up in the balcony and up on the third floor. But what if we all lived with that kind of childlike intentionality to our faith, loving and serving and asking forgiveness and offering that? And what if our whole church had that same kind of hunger about our faith and living it out? Because the truth is, all of us are hungry. Everybody in the world is hungry for something. Some don't even know what it is, searching for God only knows what. Some of us in the room are new to that journey, and some have been on this journey for decades. But no matter where we are always learning more about God because he's that big. And there's more of God to learn and to experience. We're learning more about ourselves as well. More about what God would have us to surrender so that we can grow and keep moving on this journey of faith. There's always an opportunity to surrender more to God because there's always more of him. And the goal is always less of us, more of God and less of me. That's the heart behind a prayer I've been praying for a long time now. If prayer is conversation with God, it's not always asking. Sometimes it's just talking about things. And for so long, I have just thought and talked with God, Lord, there's got to be more to what we're doing here. There's got to be more to what I'm experiencing and how it's being lived out in the world. And I believe that statement is simple and honest and is the beginning of salvation, because in the beginning it was a response to that search that led us to where we are. The key verse behind this statement of hunger, this prayer, is John 10, verse 10, where Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18 is all about salvation, who it's found in, Jesus, what he's done to obtain that for us. All throughout that chapter, in those first 18 verses, Jesus draws sharp contrast between a thief and a shepherd, between a hired hand and the good shepherd. A hired hand might watch the sheep for a paycheck, but when danger comes, if the big bad wolf shows up, he's out of there, runs, doesn't love the sheep. He's not really a shepherd. And Jesus is different. He does not run from danger. He runs to danger. He's not just a shepherd. It says he's the good shepherd. He knows his sheep by name, lays down his life for them. And then there's the thief who does not care for the sheep. He only comes to steal and kill and destroy. The thief's goal is total ruin of the sheep. But Jesus says something radically different. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The Gospel of John is obsessed with life. It uses that word 36 times more than any other writer of the New Testament. In fact, every time it uses that word, John is pointing us to something more than just eating, breathing, sleeping, repeat. He's pointing us to Jesus. And when Jesus says, "I've come that they may have life," he's not just talking about staying alive. He's talking about abundant life, real, spirit-filled, resurrection-powered life. And the Greek word for this kind of life is zoe, life. It means so much more than existence. It refers to the absolute fullness of life. Now, there is physical life. We were all born. There is mental, emotional life that's shaped and formed over the course of time. Then there's zoe life, and that kind of life is imparted to us by Christ. It's the only life that God can give. He puts it in us. He brings it. Zoe expresses the highest and the best, not something we're born with, not something we develop over time. It is the presence of Christ living inside those who receive this life. And Jesus said we could have it to the full, exceedingly abundant, over and above, more than is necessary. Think about all that's necessary. More than is necessary is the kind of life that Jesus is talking about. And that's hard to wrap your head around. This life that Jesus offers, it's not just a concept. It is communion with the living Christ. Dr. David Watson is the newly installed president at Asbury Seminary, and he once wrote, "God is not simply a construct, not simply an idea that gives weight to my moral principles. God is the living presence who moved among the people of Israel, became incarnate in Jesus Christ, established the church at Pentecost, abides within us in the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is coming back. He will come again in glory. God's presence is what defines this Zoe life, real, transforming, indwelling life. And there is more than is necessary. Several years ago, I was a student at Asbury Seminary, spent a semester as a chaplain in a hospital, and I was visiting a patient in their room, and his mother, elderly as she was, walked in with a tray of French fries. I mean, piled high, heaping over, and she smiled as she did. I could see that there were teeth or two missing, and she offered in the most southern accented drawl I'd ever heard, "Get you some." Those were her exact words. "Get you some." There was more than enough to go around, and she wanted me to enjoy this delicacy that is the French fry. Wasn't worried about running out. That's the kind of life that Jesus offers us. Zoe life, it is not about surviving. It is all about thriving in the midst of life. And this kind of life is not something we chase. It is chasing us. It gets into us, something we receive. Christ is the good shepherd. He sees his sheep, goes before us, leads us. He speaks and we know his voice and hear it. And more than just hearing it, we recognize we're talking intimacy, familiarity. We know our great and good shepherd. In him we find pasture, nourishment, rest. In him we grow strong and whole. We experience his protection and his provision. In Christ, we have life to the full. So let me ask, what does it look like? Let me see if you know what this is. Anybody? A balloon. This is what Zoe life looks like. Doesn't really work like that, does it? But what about this? More than is necessary? Don't hit the candles. We are the balloon. The air in that balloon is the source of this life. And where does it come from? It's God. It's His presence in us. So is being filled with the Holy Spirit, is the air in that balloon, is it an experience or is it a habit? Something we experience, or is it a habit? I would argue that it's both. That it is attentiveness to an external power, an attentive response to that external power. When I was in junior high and we were in Florida, went sailing. It's the only time I've been sailing, in the Gulf of Mexico. And I was not operating the sailboat, just a rider, a person who was on the boat. But the captain of that boat raised the sail, and the wind is blowing all around us. We can't see it, but we could feel its effects. And the wind harnessed, the sail harnessed that wind, and we went out far into the ocean. Responsive attentiveness to an external force. Yes, the wind was the power, but someone was participating with the wind, getting us to where we were going. This controlled habit, attentive responsiveness to an external power, being filled with the Spirit, experiencing Zoe life, living it out. It's the same, an experience that we are filled with. The Spirit is poured into each one of us, but it is a habit that requires awareness. When we pray, come Holy Spirit, I know that He's in the room and in us, duh. Heighten our awareness to the fact and reality that You are here now, God, that we might be in tune and in sync with what You're doing. Partners, participants, it requires awareness, skill, and practice. And so it is habit, it is experience. And I've got a friend named Tammy who has lived this out. She is someone I met during seminary. I've talked about her before, but her story is one that could be found in Scripture. Years ago, she went on a short-term mission trip to India, planning to be there for just 2 weeks. And while she was there, she felt like God was calling her to give her life to the people, to the children, to the souls in that country. And so she wrestled and struggled and came back to the States and went back to India, where she lived for the better part of 20 years, maybe more. She started a children's home and took in children who were orphans, many of them straight off of the streets, and she poured into them that which was poured into her, cultivating life, reaping life. And on one occasion, they took a child in off the streets who was violent and writhing and convulsing, so angry and agitated. And there were three sleepless, fitful nights in a row. Nobody in the house got any rest. One evening, they're reading a devotion from Mark chapter 5. It's the healing of the Gerasene demoniac. There is a man who is possessed by a demon, and Jesus heals this man, and he's normal. And the children in Tammy's home said, "Tammy, can't we pray for him? Let's pray that Jesus would deliver him like He did in Scripture." And they did. Those children called down fire from heaven. Tammy could feel faith arising in her. And the next morning, not much had changed. But at 24 hours later, he was starting to settle down. that next morning, he was normal. Whatever it was in him was gone. And he has grown up in that same children's home. A miracle. You talk about Zoe life. You talk about the power and presence that we're paying attention to, cultivating habit for responsiveness. That was almost 30 years ago, and many of the children in this home have grown up, are now adults, living lives that are being led by the Spirit, leading in ministry to reach all of India, Nepal, Thailand, Cambodia, all of Asia. They've started a ministry of their own called Asian Impact Ministries, and their boots are on the ground as they are living it out. Their heart is for their part of the world, and they are being faithful with the Zoe life that has been imparted, given right where God has positioned them. That's Zoe life. And that's what I want for us, for you, for me. Think about all the places that we go in a week's time. The lives that we encounter, the pain, suffering, the hurt that we're unaware of, and the hope, the life that is within us. People are searching for God knows what. Our physical life was given to us at birth. Our inner life has been shaped and formed over time, but Zoe life, that is given, imparted into us by Christ, who, when the time was right, stepped down out of heaven. Jesus lived on this earth, and while he did, he ate and drank and slept and taught in their synagogues and proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and healed every sickness, every disease among the people. Jesus lived and he died a brutal death, defeating sin and death once for all, forever. Death could not keep him. Hell could not hold him. And on the third day, Jesus was raised from the dead. And he appeared for a period of time. And as he was on the earth after his resurrection, he talked with his disciples and taught them and shared a meal with them and ministered in the flesh, and then he ascended into heaven because he said, unless I go, you have no part of me. Because I leave, I'll send a comforter to be with you, to guide you into truth, to convict you. Greater things than these you will do because I go. And so he went from being some one person on the outside of us to the one who lives inside of those who realize their need. They repent and receive this gift of God's presence. And that is what it means to be a Christian, period. That's salvation. Is it in you? This life, Zoe, life, men and women, boys and girls, marked by God's presence. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to surrender, because that's where it all begins. If there's got to be more and God is revealing more of who he is, inviting us to surrender, whether it's the first time or the 50th, then we need to surrender. And maybe you realize your need this morning, and maybe you are at the end of yourself, and maybe you are just flat out exhausted. The antidote to exhaustion is not rest. It is wholeheartedness. That comes from the imparted nature of God's presence inside of us. And so the beginning of it all is, Lord, I surrender. I quit. I can't do this anymore. Help! And he's faithful to respond. Just as we respond, he is faithful. And receiving that gift is only the beginning of attentive responsiveness to an external power. And so we live this Zoe life in this world and all the places that we go, being relational, having a heightened awareness because God is so familiar to us. And it matters not if you're a child at school on the playground. Someone there is hungry and you are positioned to love them. It's what it means to live it out. Matters not if we are lawyers or small business owners or doctors or whatever it is. That's the mission field, the place of ministry for us as we go. We are the body of Christ, his presence in the world today. And it starts with surrender, and then it's resurrender, and it's living this responsive attentiveness as God leads. So I want to pray into all of this. And I want to invite you to respond with surrender. Will you join me? Lord, we love you. We're grateful for your love and want to live this out. So help us live into the more of God. Come, Holy Spirit, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.